Brad, Mike Francesa on the Fan. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. So far, as you get ready and you get the goalie change tomorrow, how does that change things for you guys, if anything? I know you were probably expecting it once you saw him come in the game, but how about the change in goal tomorrow night for the Flyers?
Yeah, we probably expect to see him sometime this series. You know, usually you don't, not a whole lot of difference. The one difference, he catches the other way. You know, he's a lefty, so that is a bit of an adjustment. But besides that, you know, it's going to be the same game plan. We need to, you know, and him not playing for a couple of weeks, you need to get a lot of traffic, a lot of pucks at him, and make him feel uncomfortable in there.
You expect any big adjustment from the Flyers after Game 3? Forget their announcements or their pronouncements about, you know, guaranteeing victory in Game 4. I mean, that aside, we can all put that aside. But how about anything tangible? You expect anything different from them for Game 4?
I don't know exactly what their, you know, the game plan will be, but I do know. I think we're going to see their best game in the series, and I don't think we've seen their best yet, even though, you know, they did beat us in our building. I think they're, you know, we're going to see their best game, and they feel like they really need to win this coming back to MSG. So we're going to have to be very prepared, and we can't be as undisciplined as we were last game and get away with it and rely on players blocking shots and Henrik making big saves. We got to stay disciplined, play whistle and go at them as best we can.
You guys looked like a little bit more of the Tortorella Rangers yesterday. I mean, in Game 3, blocking shots. How, you guys blocked a lot of shots in that game.
Yeah, you know what, and that's the good thing about this team, that, you know, most of the guys, the core guys that have been here, can go back to that when needed to be, and, you know, if you want to win the playoffs, you're going to have to block shots at some point, so it was good. You know, you play a game that every game is presented differently to you, and sometimes you're up, sometimes it's a lot of special teams. It presented that night that we were up by two. They had a lot of PP time, and we were just scratching and clawing in any way we could to keep that two-goal lead. We knew that we didn't want them to get momentum, and guys come up with some big, big blocks and really paid the price there down the stretch.
You know, before your game, too, I saw the Flyers commenting, watching the pregame, you know, we have to watch and not get too excited about, worried about stuff extracurricular after the whistle, and we need to concentrate on scoring opportunities. Do you expect the chippy Flyers tomorrow, or ones that are more worried about getting good scoring opportunities?
Yeah, so you would imagine that they're going to need to score goals and want to play hockey, because, you know, in the end, someone's got to win the hockey game, and that's by putting the puck in the net or keeping the puck out. You know, playoff series, all this stuff happens, and the team that can, you know, stay even keel and stay out of it and just stay disciplined the best usually comes out on top. And Game 1, we were really good at that, and it seems we get off that a little bit. We got to get back to that attitude of Game 1 where we just played hockey and went right at them. And I would expect them to probably do the same, but, you know, emotions get high, and you never know as the game goes on what happens.
Talking with Brad Richards, you know, a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure on guys like you and San Luis to come in and do things and get things done for this team. And San Luis looks like he's really found a home now. You know, I know people were very concerned about his scoring, but you guys were winning. Now in the playoffs, he looks very, very comfortable and seems to be fitting in very well with you guys.
Yeah, and you just said fitting in is, you know, he wasn't a hired gun for 2 months. You know, he's coming here. He knows that, you know, he got traded for a captain, and he's going to be here more than this 2 months. So I think, you know, it puts even more pressure because, you know, you want to really make that good impression. You know you're coming back next year no matter what. So, you know, it probably put a little too much on him, but we were winning. And the more he gets to know the coaching staff and teammates, he spent a lot of time doing that and wasn't really worried about the production as much as we were winning and getting into the playoffs. And, you know, he's been one of the best players in the world for the last 10 years. And it's going to come out. You're going to see the best of him eventually. And, you know, it was good to get that clean slate. Starting playoffs, and he kind of just felt like, all right, let's start new, and you can see that he's just gaining confidence with this group every day.
Well, you know the same pressure. I mean, you know that when guys come here, and it seems to be tough on guys here, and maybe it's New York, maybe it's the expectations, but you come in and so much is expected from you, from San Luis, to come in and produce immediately. Got to put some extra pressure on you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was told about New York, you know, and it's obviously it's still, I know the Rangers aren't the Yankees or the Giants and stuff, but it's still New York City, and the Rangers are still a team that's been around for almost 100 years. So you want it, and you talk, people tell you about it, but until you really go through and experience it, you know, it's tough. And Marty experienced it early, and you know, the fans will let you know if they're not happy with what's going on, and you've got to really learn how to block that out and have the self-belief that tomorrow's a new day, and rely on your experiences. And you know, Marty eventually got through that, and everybody does. I was the same way. It's a learning experience in the city, but you know, that's why we wanted to be here, because it can go the other way just as fun.
Oh, also, it's a lot of fun. Then, I mean, really, it's like nothing else. Obviously,
yeah.
Talking with Brad Richards, I mean, do you just have to get to a point, Brad, where you put it out of your mind? I mean, and not be conscious of it, or is that just hard to do?
That's hard to do. You know, I think eventually the biggest thing, and you know, I spent some time with Mark Messier last summer, and he spent some time with Marty too last summer, and so you know, it was good to talk to Marty about it when he got here. But you can't. It's not like other markets. You can't worry about anything but what's going on in the locker room and what your teammates think of you and your coaching staff. If you start, you know, reading into what media is saying, or you know, all this stuff, or what fans are thinking, or the stuff you hear, you know, it's just a waste of your energy, and it takes away from what you should be concentrating on. And that's part of learning how to play in New York, I think. And you see the guys that do well there; they seem like they're even keel, and they go about their business and wake up, and it's a new day, and you have that self belief. You keep plugging on.
What's Vigneault's strength? What I know, obviously, everyone talks about the power play and the penalty kill and how much better it is than it was under Tortorella. But what do you guys sense from him? What's the relationship with this coach and the players? I mean, what are the characteristics of this coach?
He's a very calm, you know, even keel guy. You know, the room is he leaves a lot of the locker room to the veteran guys. Which is, you know, every coach is different. Torts didn't do that. You know, he was in there a lot more and in your face a lot more. AV kind of oversees things, but lets his leadership, lets his assistant coaches talk it over and have the voice, and really trust that the guys in the locker room will listen and make adjustments when he says that. He doesn't have to be in there pounding your face. And the biggest thing this year, through the ups and downs, he's always been a steady message and never seemed to really lose faith or panic. And you know, we had some trying times at times this year, but he played really good hockey since Christmas. It took a while to get his message and get what he wanted to do, especially defensively. We went to man on man instead of zone, and that took a little bit of work, but through it all, there was no panic or we're going to change or we're going to do this or that. And he really believed in us, and he really uses the depth of the team, you know, and that's a, you know, everybody feels involved, and I think that's really benefited this group.
Talking with Brad Richards, you know, the power play gets talked about so much, and you know, you hear so many different viewpoints of what makes a good power play and the philosophies of a power play. As someone who comes at it from your perspective as a star player, is it having the right personnel? Is it the right movement of the puck? Is it getting shots on goal? What is it in your mind that makes an efficient power play?
Well, I think the biggest thing any good power play I've been on in my career is there's not a lot of change in the groups. And we've had two groups this year that have been pretty much exclusively together. And that builds chemistry. And that just, you know, it's been like that all year this year. And no one's guessing, no one's getting changed midway through a game, going out there in a different role on the power play. Maybe one time you're in front of the net, maybe one time you're on the half wall.
So you know, you know where guys are going to go? You can sense guys? You can work? Yeah. You got a real cohesive feel for where guys are going to do?
Yeah, guys have their roles, and they know, you know, we've had great net front all year with Kreider. Kreider's hurt now, but Kreider and Ben Pouliot all year, we knew they're going to be in front of the net. So when you're at the point shooting, you know there's going to be a net front presence, and that's been a staple all year. We've worked on it every practice. And then I think the biggest thing this year is we've been shot. Most of the time we're successful, we're shot first. And it might take three or four shots, and maybe they'll get blocked, or maybe the goalie will save, but it just causes so much more problem for the defensive team because they can't read where rebounds are going, and we're good at retrieving pucks. And then that opens up the fancy plays later. But we've been really concentrated. Scott O'Neill's been hammering home, you know, pounding the puck. And the good power plays in the league over the years, there's always a net front guy, and they're always pounding pucks because you can't read, even if it goes off the end boards or whatever, you can't read where pucks are going at the defensive team as a PK. And that's where you get people running around.
Interesting. And, you know, on the penalty kill, where you guys have been far more offensive, is there a fine line of being risky or taking too many chances there? Is that a fine line you have to sense of when you're being maybe too aggressive offensively?
Yeah, there is a fine line there. And, there is a time when you know that, you know, we use the saying sometimes you got to punt the ball and
right.
just start over. But, we, you know, AV's used some offensive guys this year in that position with, you know, at different times, especially in the second half. And if an offensive guy sees an opportunity, usually they're going to think more offense, and that's why I think you're seeing more of the scoring this year on the PK, because, if, you know, when guys that aren't offensive roles get a chance, they don't feel as confident to go with it. But when you get a guy like Rick Nash or Marty St. Louis with a chance to go up the ice, they're probably going to take a little more of a chance because they're comfortable doing it, and you've seen the benefits of that.
We're talking with Brad Richards. How do you like the new format this year? You, as a veteran guy, you like the idea of how they set up the playoffs this year? You like this format with the brackets and everything set up and no one really going to play and everything?
Yeah, I think it's I like it because, you know, if you beat someone, you know who you're playing. And for preparing, you know, you kind of know what you have to do. It's there in front of you. And that's kind of different and kind of neat that we kind of know the road is going to have to probably, you know you're going to have to play Pittsburgh or Columbus, and you don't get maybe a Boston or Montreal till later. You kind of know a little bit of the path, and that's something. I think it's great for fans. You know, we living here in America, you know how big the NCAA brackets are, and, you know, seeing what can, you know, fans like to do that.
They do. I agree with you.
It's just a good thing for everybody, I think.
All right, we'll make a big deal out of the media, as you know, we're talking with Brad Richards, make a big deal out of a guy making a prediction or a guarantee, like Drew saying, I guarantee we'll win game four. Do players pay any attention to that? Does that even get conversation in your room when you hear a guy making guarantees, or it goes in one ear and out the other?
No, you know, I didn't even know about it until, after the practice in the media scrum, someone from the media told me that. So, you know,
You guys don't pay any attention, right?
No, I wouldn't expect them to walk off and say that we plan on losing and going back to MSG.
No, but when they make declarations, it becomes a bit, you know, when people make guarantees, people get excited about them, or at least they get very, they're very much publicized, you know?
Yeah, and maybe it is, and we just don't see it, or maybe it is in Philly. You just don't. You don't even bother with it, and you just move on. I'd probably see more if I was watching a different sport and seeing, you know, watching ESPN and watching baseball, someone did, or football. You'd probably notice more than when you're in it, you just don't even pay attention to it.
Well, listen, good luck tomorrow and continued good luck through the playoffs. Hope this is a long run for you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
it. Take care.